Our reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, and is titled Lord of the Sabbath, and can be found at page 1004 in your pew Bibles. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked round them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, humble people, and we ask that you prepare us with a humble heart to hear your word, to listen to it, and to act upon it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel I should begin by speaking up for the over 50s. I know it's a shock to you that I am 50. We'll maybe work at something. When I was trying to work out what I was going to say to you about these two passages, they're quite familiar passages, really. I was praying about it, and the word that came to mind was freedom. Was freedom. I don't know whether it had anything to do with the fact that I was watching Donald Trump on the news, but I was then thinking, the way my mind works, I was thinking of the names that he has given. And he's the president of the United States. He's the commander-in-chief. But he's also known, I suppose, a little euphemistically, as the leader of the free world, which is such a load of nonsense, because he's not the leader of the free world. We worship here this morning in the midst of the leader of the free world. And God was challenging me to ask you and the wider Christian community, do you know that you are free? Do you know that you are free? And why do we live as if we aren't? Do you know that we are free? And why do we live as if we aren't? Why do we live as if the victory was never won? Why do we live as people reticent to proclaim his holy name, to do things in his name, to move forward under his guidance, in his strength alone? Where does our reticence come from? What's the problem? What's holding us back? Victory is won. Christ reigns. He is the leader of the free world, not Donald Trump. And these passages this morning, whilst ostensibly about Sabbath and Sabbath rest and Shabbat laws, speak fundamentally to our sense and understanding of what freedom under Christ actually is. What that freedom means. What that freedom doesn't mean. How that freedom challenges us. And that is the challenge that I sense and feel and understand God laying down before us all this morning. Do we know that we are free? When we praise his name, do we understand that we are praising the leader of the free world? Do we get that? And if we get it, then what's holding us back? What is stopping us from a full and voluminous expression of that freedom? What's the problem? The two passages are incredibly familiar. One Sabbath, Jesus was walking with his disciples. He was going through the grain fields, and as they made his way through the grain fields, the disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Plucking the heads of grain was not allowed. There were 39 Shabbat laws of forbidden work, which was called the Melashot. 39 laws. 11 of them had to do with field work, 13 about making material curtains, 7 about making leather curtains, 2 about making the beams of the Mishkan, which was the portable or the tent, the tabernacle, 2 about the putting up and taking down of the tabernacle, 4 about decorating it and applying its final touches. 39. All based loosely around Exodus 34:21, which forbade work on the Sabbath day. Forbade work on the Sabbath day. The actual laws appear nowhere. But the Pharisees were the equivalent of a thought police. They actually had no genuine authority themselves. They relied on their relationships with others, primarily the Romans and the Herodians, which we'll hear more about in a minute. They relied on their good nature, their good offices, in order to apply these laws. And they would be observing the Jewish community as they moved around on the Sabbath, trying to understand who was applying the laws and who wasn't. Law number 3 of the 11 to do with field work was that you shall not reap on the Sabbath. And these disciples were clearly reaping. There was a problem around them plucking the grains off the wheat. And they seized upon it. Verse 24, and the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with them." Now, this was the equivalent of a right hook. Okay, this was the equivalent of a right hook to these Pharisees, to these thought police, to these guys who were more interested in political correctness and control than they were in anything else. Now, it's worth noting that a lot of the laws were about identity. This was a way in which the Jewish community could stand out and look separate from the secular community around them. So there was a sense of meaning and purpose behind them, but ultimately the laws became ways of control. And of course the poor Jews worked terribly hard to keep the laws, but no one actually could. And Jesus deals a right hook to these laws in one fell swoop by comparing himself in that moment to David, a Jewish mega superhero. He compares himself to David. And he's referring to an incident recorded in the book of Samuel, in 1 Samuel, where David is on the run from Saul. And he's got with him a little fighting force that they talk about later, known as David's mighty men, or in some cases, David's special forces. They were David's SAS. And he had them with him. He was on the run from Saul because he was popular. He had been anointed by Samuel. And he needed to create some space because Saul wanted him dead. But they were hungry, he and his soldiers. And they end up at the temple and they eat the bread within the temple, having first established that they hadn't been defiled. They hadn't defiled themselves during their journey. And Jesus, in that moment, is saying, I'm greater than David. I am greater than David. And he then develops that understanding by saying, my guys can eat. They need to eat. They're hungry. I'm reading between the lines. If somebody's hungry, whatever day of the week, don't we feed them? Isn't that what we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus Christ? Don't we feed them? We don't go, it's a Sunday, sorry. You can't have anything to eat today because you didn't prepare it in advance. He's saying, I'm greater than David. This Sabbath is mine. This Sabbath is mine. Verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Lord even of the Sabbath. That would have freaked them out. Completely freaked them out. That this man who they had been observing and following around and tentatively beginning to scheme against because he directly opposed whatever authority they thought they had, this man was claiming he was Lord of the Sabbath. And he was actually telling them he was God, and they didn't get it. That man, we don't get to make up the rules. We don't get to suppress others by our rules. We don't get to take a little bit of scripture in Exodus and expand it to such an extent that the rules start to oppress. And we live in Northern Ireland, and that you don't get any brownie points for me saying that, but we're pretty good at rules. We're pretty good at rules. There are upwards of 15,000 Protestant denominations globally. You have to wonder why. Is it because someone didn't like the rule here and moved to there and set up a new rule? Someone didn't like the little bit of truth that we held here and moved to there and set up another bit of truth? We're nuts. We've used the rules to divide the church. And the leader of the free world, the real free world, is looking down and saying, do you not understand the freedom that I have given you? And why don't you use it effectively? What's holding you back? We're too busy making rules instead of expounding the one thing that Jesus Christ wants us to do, which is to love the person next to you. Let's start there this morning. As he loves us. Because he's the leader of the free world. And what he's telling them at this point in time, in history, is that that free world is breaking in to their world. And things are going to change. And don't even bother trying not to. This was a revolutionary statement. And it completely freaked them out and frightened them. Because there was a new regime, a new king in time, and he would oppose their authority. And ultimately, they ran to the people who could help them do him in, who were ostensibly their enemies, the Herodians. They sought bedfellows with their enemies because they now had a common enemy in Jesus Christ. The real leader of the real free world was in time. And the world was changing from this moment on forever, and it's the same today. And we must recognize that the kingdom of God is present here right now. in the person of Jesus Christ, through his presence in the Holy Spirit. He is here right now. We've just celebrated communion with him. That has to mean something in the bigger scheme of how we outwork mission in this place at this time, just outside those doors. Rules get in the way. We don't have any authority to make them up as we go along. Jesus is telling them there's a revolution coming, and it's beginning here, right here and right now. And it scared the lights out of them. He then re-emphasizes it. He goes into a synagogue. There's a guy there with a withered hand. What do you do? If somebody falls down in here this morning, do we not call an ambulance? Do we not get a defibrillator out? Do we not ask if there's a doctor? Do rules rob us of common sense, the love of Christ in our lives? And I'm exaggerating the point, but it's moot. And we see it all over this country and this land and the world, where rules stop sensible, smart people from doing things under Christ that they know they should do. This is not a place for rules, especially man-made ones. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the only ones that matter. The leader of the free world is present with us now. He's challenging us to live freely. The main rule, the main obstacle to moving forward has been conquered. Sin. Done away with. We are washed. We sang about it earlier. We must live as clean people. We must move forward because that is the mission that he has given us at this point. And it hasn't changed that much. He heals the guy with the withered hand. And they look upon him, the Pharisees, and now they're more frightened than ever. His men have picked wheat on the Sabbath, and he has healed someone on the Sabbath. It's a challenge for us, isn't it? To work our way around some of the obstacles in daily living that prevent us from doing Christ's mission wherever we are at whatever time. It's a major challenge for us. We come up against, in this world, in this day, political correctness. It's a massive issue. We come up against laws being introduced very gently and very quietly. But these are the times in which we live, and the kingdom of God is present here and now. And the leader of that kingdom, that free world, is present here and now. And he's asking us to live freely, to move forward under his authority, not to be held back by rules. And worst of all, not to make them up because we think that will be better. That will help us control how we do things. And yes, there are parameters in which everything works. And the church of Christ is no different. But if we're not free in the sense that we understand who he is and what he did for us, what he continues to do for us, and what our basic mission is, if we don't understand that and live it, then we've got a serious problem. If we stand here and claim that we want to be in mission on a 24/7, 365 basis. As I prayed, that's what came out. Do you know you're free? And why do we live as if we don't recognize the victory that has been won? And that is the same of the church all over the world. What's holding us back? What's stopping us from being essentially who we are in the image of Jesus Christ, understanding that sin has been done away with, understanding that victory is ours, understanding that he's coming again, understanding that we have a job of work to do in the middle of all of that, understanding that each and every one of us has a personal responsibility in that. What's holding us back? And so I challenge you and I say to you today, understand where your freedom comes from. Understand that the leader of the free world is here, right here, and right now. And we praise his name. And we say, hallelujah, Lord, we understand you're here. We want to live freely. We want to move forward under your authority. We want to be equipped by your power and your grace. And we seek the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We worship you today because this is the day that we have chosen. Do you know why we chose a Sunday? Because it's the third day after what happened at the cross. We are people of the resurrection. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is a celebration. Every single one. We praise our Lord today as people free. We praise the Lord of the Sabbath, the leader of the free world, the real free world, the kingdom of God present here, and right now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. Rid our hearts and minds by the power of your Spirit of anything that would hold us back for living freely under your authority. Help us to serve you in every part of this community, beginning right outside these doors. Help us to love others as you love us. Help us to preach Christ crucified, to exemplify it in our lives, to love people into your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.